You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, and with me once again is Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm well, Vincent. How are you?
I'm also well, so that's a good thing. We're both well, and we're both here to talk about 2017 some more. We are going to talk about the month of September, which had mostly not so fun things, but a couple interesting points. But we're also going to get in a little bit deeper, talk about the Verlander-Darvish decision in 2017 that a listener asked about, and talk a little bit about something Clayton Kershaw said. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car in the morning, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. Also, if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. Okay, Jeff, so before we get into the 2017 stuff, we didn't get to talk about it yesterday, but we'll talk about it today. So we had talked about last week the very early idea of MLB playing a season in Arizona. The players would essentially be quarantined and basically just play, and the possibility of them not being able to see their family was part of it and all of that. And I had brought up a fact of if a player didn't want to play, what was going to happen? And one player did say that he wouldn't play. He said Clayton Kershaw is that player, and he said that he think it's great that MLB is trying to figure something out. He will say that the situation that was played out, he doesn't see that happening. He said, I'm not going to be away from my family and not see them for 4 months. I just talked about how much Cooper, his newborn son, changes over 1 week. So to miss 4 months of his life right now, I'm just not going to do it. Jeff, thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I think he's absolutely right. And, you know, we kind of at the time, maybe we didn't get as deep, didn't want to be too negative Nellies, but my opinion all along has been there's no way that they would actually try to do a full season like this with the players locked away from their families. The only way I could see them doing the Arizona plan in any form would be if it was temporary. The doctors and scientists figure out some sort of treatment for the virus, and so they're able to say, okay, we think on August 1st it will be safe to have fans in the stadiums. So I could see Major League Baseball saying, okay, well, but we could get a jump start on the season if we did start in mid-June. We could play 6 weeks in Arizona without fans so we can get more games in. I could see something like that where there's a set time period, there's an end point, and it's temporary, knowing that it's just a way to get in extra games before fans can be back in the stadiums. I could see something like that. And in that case also, I think what would go along with that is that the restrictions wouldn't be as tight. So Kershaw wouldn't have to be away from his family. Even if they were playing in empty stadiums, you know, either his family could be with him or at least they could visit him or whatever. So that's the only way I see the Arizona plan happening, is if it is temporary and not as strict.
Yeah, we had brought up, you know, the fact of maybe Braves being able to bring their family and their families become part of it. But, you know, like I said, that idea, and we said it a bunch of times, was very early stages and just a bunch of kind of a lot of ideas all kind of thrown into one. So we'll see what happens, but we do know that if it did come to that, Nolan Arenado did say he would play if it did come to that, although he didn't believe it would. So everyone would have different opinions, but it probably wouldn't come down to that anyways. All right, so we had a question from our good listener, John Herrera at JM Herrera ATC, and he wanted us to go a little bit further into the Darvish versus Verlander narrative and why it isn't true. Jeff, I would imagine you have some numbers or something to start us off.
I do. You know, and a lot of what people say is, even if you're just looking at something as simple as ERA, you know, when the Dodgers traded for Darvish, he had a 4.01 ERA in 2017. When the Astros traded for Verlander, he had a 3.82 ERA. And that's as far as a lot of people go. What you're missing is, A, Verlander was traded a month later than Darvish. And B, going just right at the moment of the trade isn't quite right, because trade talks take days or even weeks. And so, you know, the Dodgers are looking at overall performance. And if you look at the numbers at the July 31st trade deadline, Darvish had a 4.01 ERA and Verlander had a 4.29 ERA. And it goes even farther, because Verlander, in his last start of July, pitched 6 shutout innings. Darvish, in his last start of July, gave up 10 runs in 3 2/3 innings. And so if you look at when they would have actually been making, you know, start talking about the trades, if you look at after their second last starts, Darvish on July 21st and Verlander on July 25th. So after July 25th, Verlander's ERA was 3.90 and Darvish's was 3.44. And so Darvish had been the significantly better pitcher in 2017. Then you have the fact that he is, 3 years younger? He was born in August of 86, and Verlander was born in February of 83. So Verlander's 3.5 years older than Darvish. Verlander had in the he had finished second in the Cy Young voting the year before, the year before that he had struggled. The year before that he had really struggled. He hadn't been ace Justin Verlander in close to 5 years at the time of the trade. Darvish, the main knock against him was an injury history. He had had Tommy John. He had struggled to stay healthy, but when he was healthy, especially if you look at Darvish's ERA being around 3.40, like it was before that last start, that was still already the worst year of his career, basically, or since his first year. Darvish, when he was healthy, he was just a significantly better pitcher than Verlander at that point. And, you know, the fact that Verlander started figuring things out with the Tigers and then really figured things out with the Astros doesn't change the fact there was no way anybody could have known.
Exactly. And, you know, the other part is that, you know, the money wasn't insignificant either. Justin Verlander has made 28 mil in 2018, 2019, made 33 mil last year and 33 mil due next year. And I mean, this year and next year. So, you know, that's not insignificant. Obviously, the Dodgers can afford it. But to go out and get a guy with that much money left on his contract that wasn't pitching that well and had been good in one season of the last five, you know, didn't really make too much sense. And, yeah, like I said, at the time, the Tigers were not a good team that year, I don't think. And Verlander wasn't their all-star representative. And even though Darvish's numbers weren't quite there, he was an all-star representative. So there was a lot going on at the time. And, you know, when the trade was made, we can go back and look at everyone saying what a great trade it was for the Dodgers. They didn't really give up too much. And they got a bona fide ace. And he was probably going to be their number two or three in the postseason anyways. So, you know, obviously revisionist history, people want to pick Verlander, but it wasn't really a case, and there wasn't really people pining for Verlander. There was a few here and there, but it wasn't so much as it is now.
Yeah, and, you know, the money thing is a good tiebreaker, but there wasn't a tie to be broken here. Darvish was the better pitcher, and he cost less prospect-wise. The Astros sent over Daz Cameron and Jake Rogers and another guy for Verlander. The Dodgers traded, like you said on the other episode, Dodgers traded Willie Calhoun, who didn't have, he's not a National League player. And so, you know, they got the best pitcher available for a prospect who they had no use for. And it was absolutely a good trade. And if the Astros weren't cheaters, maybe it goes down in history as being a great trade. because, you know, who knows why Darvish was so bad in game three of the World Series or whatever it was.
All in all, it was, you know, the move made at the time seemed like the good move, just didn't work out. And, you know, the other part of it is Verlander didn't win any games for the Astros in the World Series. He pitched well, and
he should have been 0-2.
Yeah, if Darvish had pitched as well as Verlander did, then in his games, then the Dodgers would have been champions. But still, you know, it's not the end-all, be-all, and it doesn't guarantee anything. And who knows, maybe, you know, Verlander doesn't catch on with the Dodgers like he did with the Astros. So,
yeah.
There's a lot to it, but, you know, it's good to look back at the numbers. If you really go back into it, you can see the reasoning very easily.
Yeah.
Okay, we are going to talk about September of 2017. We'll try to highlight some of the good stuff and some of the not so good stuff and what was going through our minds at the time. So make sure you stay locked on Dodgers. All right, we're going to get into our obscure former Dodger. We were looking at, you know, who came up in September. Walker Buehler made his debut. Alex Verdugo hit his first home run. And both of those things, happened, yeah, against the Rockies. And so I went to look at the 2017 Rockies, see if anybody was on there. I believe there was only one guy that made it, and I don't think we've done it before. And that's Zach Roscup. Zach Roscup pitched for the Dodgers in 2018 and came back and pitched in 2019, but didn't pitch. He didn't pitch relatively well and obviously was not that great to stick around. But Roscup came up with the Cubs, and then he went to the Rockies, and then the Dodgers, and then the Mariners, and then the Blue Jays, and then back to the Dodgers, and that's where he ended last year. The one significant thing, or maybe not one, but one of the significant things about Roscup is that he was part of the trade that landed the Rays Chris Archer. He was traded with Matt Garza and Fernando Perez to the Cubs for Sam Fold, Chris Archer, Hakju Lee, Brandon Guyer, and Robinson Chirinos in 2011. His one big thing with the Dodgers is he did throw an immaculate inning against the Mariners in 2018. If you don't know what immaculate inning is, that's 3 strikeouts on 9 pitches. Basically, you know, the least amount of pitches you can throw with striking everybody out in the inning. So that was the highlight of his thing, and I don't really remember much about it other than that.
Yeah, Zach Roscup, his big problem is he is like the definition of a loogie. He is really good against lefties and really bad against righties. In his career, right-handers have a 1026 OPS against him, which is not good at all. Lefties a 577. And so that's, you know, even he was struggling to stay in the big leagues anyway. And now with the new 3-batter minimum, it looks like he's back at the Rockies now on a minor league contract. But it doesn't seem likely that he has much of a career ahead of him.
All right, so that'll do it for Zach Roscup. Let's jump into September. There's a few things here. Give a quick rundown. The Dodgers won the first game of September 1-0, and then proceeded to lose 11 in a row before winning 4 in a row and then losing 4 in a row, and then, you know, a mixed bag. Won more than lost the rest of the way. But at all this, the Dodgers, like we said in yesterday's episode, that they went up 21 games in August. That division lead got down to 9 games, I believe. Well, yeah, 9 games was the lowest, and that was on September 10th. So, you know, the division was never really in question. But, Jeff, even the optimist you are, were you a little bit nervous in that September in the skid?
I was never nervous that they were going to lose the division. I had there were people – I had arguments on Twitter, people – saying the Dodgers were going to blow the lead and lose the division. And I was adamant that they were insane because they were never in danger of losing the division. They had the worst stretch anybody has ever had. And like you said, the lowest their lead got was 9 games. And so it was never in doubt for the division. What I was nervous about was that they seemed to have forgotten how to play baseball, which didn't bode well for the postseason. And so I was never worried about the division, but I was definitely worried about the postseason, especially when it looked like they were going to face the Diamondbacks in the first round of the playoffs, which they did, and the Diamondbacks swept them at the end of the last three games of August, and then swept them again early in September. And so, and when they lost 16 out of 17, six of those losses were to the D-backs, and that definitely made me nervous for the postseason.
Same, yeah. The division was never really in question. It was still a matter of when they're going to clinch, not if they're going to clinch. But it definitely, you know, wasn't fun going through all that. And they weren't hitting, or if the days they were hitting, they didn't pitch well. I believe the defense had some lapses in that. It was just a weird stretch all around. But there was some good things. The Walker Buehler made his debut. Alex Verdugo, his debut as well, right?
Yeah. He may have been up earlier in the season, actually, but it was definitely his first career homer came on the 10th.
Yeah, so the main part of September for the Dodgers also, and how it's been the last few years, minus 2018, was figuring out who's going to be on the postseason roster. And at the time, the starting pitching, we knew who was going to be the starting pitchers, but the bullpen is obviously always a question. And the guys that we talked about on the July episode of who they traded for, Tony Watson and Tony Cingrani, they pitched in 10 – Watson pitched in 10.1 innings and Cingrani 10 innings in the month. And Watson had a .87 ERA. Cingrani had a .90 ERA. Kenley Jansen and Brandon Morrow had a 1.8 and 1.86 ERA respectively. So, you know, the it was starting to shape the back end of the bullpen. And, you know, kind of figuring out who was going to be it. Brandon McCarthy had been hurt, and he hadn't really pitched, so he was kind of out of it. We weren't sure, you know, if Ryu was going to hold up, if Alex Wood was going to hold up. He struggled a little bit in the month of September. But the Kenta Maeda experiment, he did go to the bullpen his last two appearances of the month. So it did start shaping the bullpen a little bit. We thought Walker Buehler was going to have a chance to get on the postseason roster, but he just didn't quite pitch so well and didn't really make that push. So there was a lot going on despite the Dodgers losing and kind of figuring out what things were going to be like.
Yeah, and, you know, the bullpen, people always have a negative opinion of the bullpen even when the bullpen's good. 2017 was, you know, even now when we look back at it, knowing that Jansen and Morrow blew game two of the World Series, et cetera, it's easy to forget that the Dodgers had some really, really good relievers that year who were kind of clicking at the right time. You know, Jansen and Morrow were great basically all season. And like you said, Cingrani and Watson were stepping up. And Maeda was good out of the bullpen. There was a lot of potential there. Yeah, for me, the biggest concern in September that losing streak brought up was the fact that the Dodgers appeared to have forgotten how to hit. You know, they had, during that when they lost, if you start on the last day of August, so they lost 12 out of these 13 games. And here's their runs scored in each of these games. 1, 1, 5, 2, 4, 0, 1, 1, 1, 4, 5, 1, 6. And so, I mean, it was just a lot of ones and zeros there. Put. I mean, even the one game they won in that stretch, they won 1-0 against the Padres. And so that was the part that concerned me, was that the offense seemed to have forgotten how to hit. And that definitely got better later in the month. You could say it was because they were facing the Giants and the Padres, but their last three games were against the Rockies, who made it to the wild card game. But yeah, they had a three-game series with the Padres where they scored 28 runs in the three games. And that was definitely a sight for sore eyes, to see the offense starting to bounce back at the right time.
Especially considering that, you know, despite bullpen faults and starting pitching faults, the hitting just never seemed to come through in October, which is why they had the long run and no real, you know, no World Series appearances or anything. So that was definitely, you know, part of it. I think the last point to kind of get on is two veterans both kind of going opposite ways. Andre Ethier missed the whole year but came back in September and played the whole month and pushed his way onto some postseason roster consideration and onto the postseason roster. And Adrian Gonzalez, who struggled with that bad back all year, he played a little bit in September sparingly, but he was shut down before the last week of the season. And although he did hit a home run in his last at-bat, which would be his last at-bat as a Dodger, and tying it up to win his first at bat as a Dodger, which he also hit a home run. So, you know, Gonzalez had a good but not great Dodgers career, but definitely ended with a whimper.
Yeah, and even after his Dodgers career was technically over, maybe we'll talk more about this on tomorrow's episode, talking about October, he was nowhere to be found, even on the bench for moral support, which was surprising because he had been kind of the, you know, one of the leaders of the team in the clubhouse. You know, he and JT had a great relationship. They did their little selfie pose after home runs. You know, Gonzalez had always been kind of a mentor to Puig, a lot of stuff, and it was his absence was notable in October.
Yeah, that was definitely weird. We'll definitely touch on that. Although the season didn't technically end in September, it ended October 1st. But that will conclude the regular season of these portions of our episodes. Overall, like I said, fun year. It did end a little weird, but it just led into an October where we really didn't know what to expect. And then we kind of got hit with the unexpected from the Dodgers. And then, you know, obviously we know the 2017 World Series. So we'll get into all that on tomorrow's episode. But Jeff, you got anything else about the regular season that we maybe missed or September in general?
No, it's just still baffling to me to look at this game log and see that Fernando Rodney had 4 saves in 10 days against the Dodgers. Like, Fernando Rodney, come on, man.
That's how we should have known. It was all smoke and mirrors for the Diamondbacks.
Yep.
Yeah, but see, like I said, we will be back tomorrow to talk about the final month, October.
Hector Neris had 2 saves against the Dodgers in September. Hector freaking Neris.
He wasn't at Dodger Stadium, that's why.
That's true.
But yeah, we're going to come back and talk about October and then November 1st. Thank you for listening to Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to subscribe and download and listen every day. Especially if you have a little more time on your hands, go ahead and throw this at listen. Also, if you have a little more time on your hands, you can rate and review if you haven't already done so on iTunes. That's pretty much it. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. He's been doing some fun Dodgers Zoom meetings and a book giveaway. So make sure you follow him for all that fun stuff. You can find me on Twitter at Vince Samperio. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. D. We'll talk to you later.
I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!